Wow, thank you, Kim. And I also want to say thank you to the little girl inside of you that you didn't listen to her, that said you didn't belong. Thanks for not listening to her. Thanks for not listening to the teenager that told you to run away. We're so glad to have you here. It's my pleasure to be on the team with you. Thank you. And Jake, thanks for bringing the word to us. It really ministered to me. Just a note to the programming team, please don't have me follow Jake again. It was great. I appreciate your heart and just how God ministered to us through you, reflecting on what it looks like to be with. And thanks for using the basketball illustration. I was trying to figure out how I was going to work North Carolina basketball into this. So thanks for that too. It is great to be here with all of you. I came in to the Moby on Saturday to walk around and to pray, and was overcome with emotion just being in this place, because I have such a sense of the reality of how many times God has met with us here and what a privilege it is to be here and to experience His presence. So as I walked around, I was thinking, I'll get in here and I'll feel it and I'll feel the emotion and I can kind of put that aside. But then this morning, seeing everybody file in, those emotions started to come back. And then when Run 51 started singing, "Holy, Holy, Holy," you know, I just lost it again. It's just the privilege it is to worship the Lord together with all of you. What an amazing opportunity it is for us to worship Him together. And everything we've been doing this morning is, I'm just amazed at how God has been at work and how He's used every element to lead us to where what the Lord has put on my heart as well for us in this time. You know, obviously our theme is with, and I just want to acknowledge that I understand that the challenges that we face, the conflicts that some of us are experiencing, the changes that are all around us, that those are real, and that the reality is there, and that if we're not careful, those things will affect our ability to be with Jesus and with one another. And as I speak today, and as I call us to this invitation to be with Jesus and to be with one another, I'm not thinking about any one person, any one situation, any specific challenge or circumstance or change. I'm just recognizing that we have some work to do. I come in here with a deep sense of the reality for a lot of us, we are experiencing, in many cases, a deep sense of hurt, confusion, loss, wrestling with change. That's more true of a number of us than normal. Now, every summer when we come here to CSU, you could pick any summer and you could know that with this many people, there's a variety of places where people are coming from. But I recognize that this summer, that we're experiencing more than that, than normal, that people are wrestling with some of those issues. Now, saying that, I also realize that a number of you are coming in here and things are great. You're excited, you feel really connected to Jesus, you like what's going on, you're refreshed, you're coming in here, and everything's great. That's awesome. There's a number of us who would like to beat you to a pulp, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. We come in from different places, but what's true of us is that we come into a place where the Lord is here to meet us. I believe that we have a profound need for God to show up in this place. and that's true every year. No amount of programming or planning or speaker prep can overcome God not showing up. But here's the really good news. God is here. He is showing up. The question is, are we listening? Is our heart ready to meet with Him? And I would like us to take some time right now just to invite Him into our presence and into what He wants to say to us. So if you wouldn't mind, if you would just hold your hands open, if you would sit, stand, kneel, or whatever you desire to do, and just open your hands to receive what the Lord has. Father, we stop and pause, recognizing that You're in our presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You have brought us to this place. And Father, we come with a humble heart, whether actually or figuratively, we are kneeling, we are on our face before You, our hands are outstretched, our palms are turned up, we are ready to receive this week. What is it that You have for us? Father, would You, through Your Spirit, clear away the clutter, the noise, the challenges, the circumstances, anything that distracts us. And would You make our hearts tender, fertile ground for Your Spirit to turn over the soil in and create growth? Would You incline our ear to hear Your voice and to hear no other voice? Would our hearts and our minds and our wills be oriented toward You, giving You the opportunity to do what You would in our lives? Father, we are here before You, and we are asking, knowing that You are in our midst, would You fill us individually with Your Spirit, and would You fill us corporately with Your presence and Your Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last several months, the Lord has had me in the book of James. I've just gone back to James over and over and over again, spending time with him in this passage. And I think the Lord has something to say to us from the book of James today. James wrote the book to early Christian believers who were scattered after the stoning of Stephen. They went to different places outside of Jerusalem, and James, kind of the head of the Jerusalem church, wrote this letter recognizing several things. That these believers were facing trials and attacks from the evil ones and conflicts with one another. And in many ways, we are just a dispersed group of people normally through the 2 years, and now we come back to be here together today. And I think that Jesus has something to say to us in the book of James. And James gets right to the point in verse 2, and he says this: "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And this perseverance produces a perfect result." This perfect result is the fruit of maturity that is complete and lacking in nothing. The reality for us is we think about who we are as an organization and as a family and as the Great Commission Army. The reality for us is that nothing is happening to us that first hasn't been filtered through the loving fingers of our Heavenly Father. There is nothing that's come into our lives apart from Him and His desire to produce mature fruit in our lives. Make no mistake, we are deep into enemy territory, into the front lines of enemy-held territory regarding several things. We're deep into the battle regarding people's eternal destiny. We are going into and attacking in places the evil one is going to defend in every way possible, because he cares about people's eternal destiny, not in the way that we do. We're deep into enemy territory regarding oneness and diversity. We're going after things that are strongholds for the enemy. We are deep into enemy territory when we're going after partnerships and figuring out how do we work together with the body of Christ in different ways so that we see ourselves as part of the body, not better or worse, but part. We're deep into enemy territory when we're going after the scope of the Great Commission, where we're going after every place on the planet, where we're not backing away and looking for just what we could do by ourselves. When we think about scope, we're going into enemy territory. As we did at Crew 15 this summer, you're going to hear us continue to talk about four things: the gospel, oneness and diversity, partnership, and scope. Those are things that were true then, they're true now, they're going to be true as we move into the future. Our theme is with, but it's with around all four of those elements that we're going to continue to go after. The evil one does not want us to reach more people. The evil one does not want us to become more diverse and more united. The evil one does not want us to partner with other parts of the body, and certainly the evil one does not want to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. He will not give up this territory lightly. In his historic methods to making sure that those things do not happen, his historic methods are to create strife and tension within the body and to divert our attention from being dependent on Jesus. And Jake, thank you so much for focusing at the end there about what it means to go after with. It's all about Jesus. Now, I think those of you who know me well know that I'm not a person who sees the devil behind every rock. I'm not one to think that every little thing that goes wrong, well, it was the devil that did it. But I am here to tell you today to remind us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. But I'm also here to tell you this, that as this battle goes on and we persevere because we know that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. He is the one who is at work. Jesus is with us and at work in us to produce in and through us His fruit in a way that brings about His desired result. It's about Jesus, it's about being with Him. And James recognizes this when he challenges the dispersed church to recognize the trials and the conflicts and the issues that they were facing. He recognized that Jesus was about producing mature fruit in them, similarly to what John did in John 15. Both John and James make this connection between bearing fruit and loving one another or loving your neighbor. In John 15, a very familiar verse, I'm just going to allude to it, you don't have to look at it. In John 15, he tells us four things about fruit bearing. He tells us he wants us to bear fruit, verse 2. He goes on to say he wants us to bear more fruit. John goes on to say he wants us to bear much fruit. And then finally, in verse 16, he tells us he wants us to bear fruit that remains. And the idea of bearing fruit that remains, he ties quickly into that command in John 15, 17 to love one another. It's what James refers to as the royal law, that you would love your neighbor. That there's this connection between bearing fruit and the relational aspect of loving God, loving one another, and loving our neighbor. We cannot escape that. There's a connection between being with Jesus and being with one another. We cannot abide with Jesus if we are not abiding with one another. They go hand in hand, as Jake pointed out. And in John 15, there's three roles that he points out: the vine dresser, the vine, and the branch. The vine dresser is Jesus, and as the vine dress, or I'm sorry, the vine is Jesus, and he is the source of all that we need. That's his role. We stay connected to him, and he is the source of all that we need. Everything that we need flows by and through him. It doesn't mean that he is all that we need, because he created an environment where we need each other. But by being connected to the vine, we're connected to the source who wants to do a deep work in our lives. Then the second role is the Father, as the vine dresser, is the one who shapes our growth. Jesus is the source, and the Father is the shaper. Jesus supplies what we need, and the Father shapes us according to his plan. And the third role is us as the branch. And each one of us as the branch submits to the source to supply our need, and we submit to the shaper to carve our growth in whatever journey and whatever path he chooses to do. Now, many of you are like me, and that when our eyes get focused on my situation as a branch, I become consumed with my circumstances, my challenges, the conflicts and changes in my life, and I naturally want to try to change that. I want to try to make it go away. I want to try to make it comfortable. I want to try to weasel out of whatever it is. I want to blame other people or make it about something else, because as a branch, I often don't like what is happening to me. And one of the best ways to divert my attention is start thinking about what's happening to another branch. Well, why aren't you doing something there? What about that branch? What are you doing over here? Let me personalize this just for a second, is that the reality is there are often times where I try to usurp the vine dresser's role. Let me cut. Let me fix. Let me deal with that other branch. There is nothing in the world probably more absurd than a branch trying to be the vine dresser. And yet, that is often what I find myself doing. Jake referred to the Trinity and did a great job of painting the picture of that. And there is this amazing connection between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that we benefit from. As we go out and try to be the vine dresser, try to fix other people, try to make it about them, blame them, think it's something else, try to get out of our circumstances, struggle with the realities that we're in, Jesus, in his grace, mercy, and kindness, draws us back to him, loves us unconditionally, and sustains us and invites us back into this first love with him, this deep love with him. He draws us in. And he sets us up for the Father as the vine dresser to start shaping us for his glory, shaping us to grow us into his image, to grow us for greater fruitfulness, to mold us into his image. And the Spirit comforts us, convicts us, intercedes for us as he empowers us to stay connected to the source and submitted to the shaper. We cannot get away from the reality that our ability to live the Christian life is completely rooted in the reality that the Holy Spirit has to be the one in control. If we get away from that reality, then we miss what it looks like to abide in him. Jesus in his grace draws us back. The Father in his great love shapes us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And let me just take another minute to share, to personalize this a little bit. This story will be a little bit longer, but my prayer for you is that it's not about my story, but is there something that God has for each of us as a part of his story? Many of you have heard me share about a situation I had with Dr. Bright right in the time when he was stepping out of the role of president. Bill wanted to deal with some things in my life regarding my leadership. He had some concerns about me, and he confronted me on some issues, and that was a very difficult time. Now, you could easily debate did Bill do this in the very best way? Was his process the best way or whatever? The reality was God had a plan that he wanted to get at in my heart. And I'm not going to, you've heard me speak before about how the Lord used that to reveal some issues of pride in my life. I'm not focusing so much on what I learned from the specific lesson, but I haven't shared that much about what it was like to go through that process. It wasn't my responsibility to judge whether Bill was right on everything, whether he had the right point of view. I could engage with him. I could talk with him about what was going on. But at the end of the day, the Father had a path of pruning in my life that was painful, and it was longer, and it was deeper than I would have preferred. It wasn't easy. You know, a lot of times when God has a lesson for me, what I really want is for him to get in there, cut quick, leave a lot left, don't make it very painful, and let's move on. But in this case, it was not a quick lesson and get back to normal. And at the beginning when this was going on, I had no idea that it would be 2 years of incredible pain for me. Pain and struggle. Let me also say that this was also a time, not only that was painful for me, but at times how I responded made it painful for other people. How I responded made it painful for others. There were times of deep despair. There were times of confusion and doubt. What's really going on? Lord, am I seeing you? Here I am, and I was the national director of the campus ministry at the time, and I just said, Lord, what's happening? What are you doing? There were times of blaming other people. There were times I wondered why God was not doing something in another person's life. There I go again, trying to be the vine dresser and focusing on another branch. There were times I not only wanted to quit, but there was one day after a meeting in Chicago with a group of leaders, with crew, I got in the car with Christy and I said, we're done. We're done. It's not just that I wanted to quit, I said, we're finished. And that night we were staying at a friend's house in Chicago, and she was a former staff person, and I told her that we were gonna leave the role and possibly leave crew. And she instantly got in my face. And she says, that is not the right answer. You cannot do that. You're not hearing this right. And I was kind of taken back. I mean, I said, Mel, where's the empathy? You're a counselor. She said, I'm not your counselor. And she said, you're not hearing right. And the Lord used her in my life, and it's interesting that I could have gone to talk to some other people who would have empathized with me and said, oh yeah, that's terrible, that was wrong, this is wrong, no matter what, you know. I could have found plenty of people who would have agreed with me, but what I found, what the Lord provided, was a person who would speak truth and question whether I was on the right track. The Lord used her to help me see that my eyes were on all the wrong things. My eyes were on my pain, my circumstances, my control, my comfort, other people's actions, instead of being focused on Jesus. And if my eyes are not on Jesus, then I'm in deep trouble. I had to decide, am I going to put into practice what I've taught my whole Christian life? Was I going to put into practice what I believed and what I said I believed? And it was things were like this. When I said that I believed God, did I believe that he was in control? Did I believe that he caused all things, everything, to work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose? Did I believe that he had a plan for my life that no one else was in control of, that he was in control? Did I believe that he was all-knowing? Did I believe that he loved me unconditionally? Did I believe that even if other people meant it for evil, which I don't think any of those did, that God meant it for good? Did I believe that he was completely sovereign? And would I connect my heart to be with Jesus, or would I set myself up to waste the pain of that 2 years and have to go through the process again? Because wherever God chooses to start cutting in my life, he is going to get his purpose accomplished, whether I respond appropriately in the beginning or he has to cut again and again and again. If you were to walk into my office at Lake Hart, you would see a chair sitting there that is remarkably out of place. It is a chair that came from the Brights condo after Vonette died, and we were things were being distributed or given away or going to the Brights family or whatever. John Rogers picked up this chair and brought it and set it in my office. And it's the chair that I was sitting in when Bill confronted me on these issues. And it sits there as a reminder of the reality that God could use an imperfect process to get at pride in my life. It sits there as a reminder of how thankful I am today for the pain of that moment. I would never have chosen to go through that pain, but today, like then, the vine dresser continues to cut away at sin in my life, deal with issues in my life, and bring me to a place where he can continue to produce his work in and through me. Now, by sharing that story, I just want to make a little side comment that certainly at times God uses circumstances and people to move us in a different direction. So I'm not saying that you can never move or never change or make a different decision. But the question for all of us is, are we listening to the Lord or just trying to get out of our own set of circumstances? Brothers and sisters, I am certain of this, that in the last year, you have been asking God for wisdom. I am certain. You've been asking him for wisdom. And James instructs us regarding wisdom. He says, what we need at this time is not what James refers to as earthly wisdom, which is about selfish ambition and envy and judgment and jealousy and all these other things. But what we need is wisdom from above that James describes as these things. That it's pure, that it's peace-loving, that it's considerate, that it's submissive, that it's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Often we ask for wisdom, wanting insights and answers, yet what James tells us is that wisdom is rooted in relationships and love. We seek wisdom looking for direction, and God provides wisdom that challenges us in humility to relationships with Jesus and to relationships with one another. James goes on to ask a very direct question. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have. When we focus on our own circumstances, our own challenges, conflicts, changes, whatever they are, when we focus on them, ourselves, our rights, and our interest, James addresses us and he tells us God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Brothers and sisters, as we begin this week, I'm inviting us to be with Jesus and with one another. As we take time now to incline our ears to his voice and to no other voice, would you join me as a fellow branch, giving the vine dresser full access to whatever he wants to do, however he wants to prune, in order to produce in us and through us fruit that remains? And I'm going to ask us to take a few minutes of reflection here and allow the Spirit to examine our hearts through James's admonitions. And I'm just going to state these admonitions quickly, and then I'll pray, and then we're going to have a time of reflection. And I'm not going to hit them all, but in James 4 and 5, he hits a number of things that I think the Holy Spirit wants to use in our lives if we will listen for his voice. What I'm asking you to do is listen for his voice. I'm not asking for you to be introspective. I'm not asking for you to try to figure it out. I'm not asking you to listen to the voice of shame or anything else. Just listen for his voice. The list is, he tells us, is submit yourself to God, resist the devil, come near to God, wash your hands and purify your heart, grieve, mourn, wail, humble yourselves before the Lord. Do not slander one another or grumble against one another. Be patient, waiting on the Lord. Confess your sins to one another. Pray. And we're going to take some time, and I'm just going to start us off with a prayer. But I would invite you once again to take a posture of humility. Open your hands to receive what it is the Lord has for you. As I pray, then we're going to have about 5 minutes or so of silence. You'll have some music. These words will go on the screen again about James' admonition. You can look at those. Do whatever you need to do. If you need to get on the floor where you can kneel or whatever it is that the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do, but listen for his voice. Would you join me in praying? Father, we come before you to submit ourselves to you in spirit-filled surrender. Father, we come with this desire to resist the devil and ask that you would put upon us the full armor of God, that nothing would stand in our way of what you want to do. Father, we come near to you, acknowledging that when we come to Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden, that you will give us rest. Father, we ask that your Spirit would convict us to wash our hands and purify our hearts so that we can be your pure vessels for your use. Father, we enter into the lament of James when he asks us to grieve and mourn and wail. What is it you want us to do? Father, we come humbling ourselves before you. We bend our knee to your sovereign control, your pruning love, and as a branch, we submit ourselves to you in whatever way you see fit. Father, we come recognizing that we need you to work through us so that we don't slander or grumble against one another, that we can be united. And Father, we come patiently waiting on you to work in our lives. Father, we come confessing our sins, willingness to confess those to one another and to deal with one another. And Father, you said anyone who is in trouble to pray. And so, Father, we come in prayer. Would you meet with us? Would you just take some time now to listen to what the Lord might say to you? Father, we come before you with this amazing sense of your presence. Father, we come knowing that your love for us is overwhelming. Jesus, you continue to draw us to yourself. You pull us back in close. You lavish us with your love and affection. You do a work in us for your glory. And Father, I pray that this week, that as we move forward together, that with would not be a theme of a conference, but it would be what's true of us in every way, that we are with Jesus, that our hearts are deeply connected with Jesus, giving you, Jesus, access to every area of our lives, giving you, Jesus, every access to do whatever it is you want to do through your Spirit, empowering us, convicting us, drawing us forward, interceding for us. And Father, we willingly submit ourselves to you and your loving care as you prune and shape us for your glory. Father, there are times we feel that the cutting is so hard or so deep or too painful or for too long. We look at what you've left after cutting and we wonder, will it ever work again? And yet you create beauty out of brokenness. You create abundant fruit that remains out of deep relationships with you and as we relate to one another and as you grow us into your image. We submit ourselves to you, and throughout this day, we want to continue to be in a place where you have access to our hearts. And not just this day as we come back in this afternoon to be with you again, but throughout the week. And Father, we ask that you would keep the evil one at bay, and that you and your Spirit, Father, and Jesus in us, that you would do your great work in our midst, individually and collectively. Father, may we worship you in spirit and truth.